Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Canadian-born UK-based jazz pianist Sean Fife. We spoke to him the day his new CD with his quartet called Late Shift was released on January 14th, 2022. We also delved into this COVID world that is now raging again and his life and music up to this point. He's got a great story. Enjoy.
Well, hey, thanks for taking a minute out for the show today. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about your newest CD, Late Night. And, you know, it's coming out under the guise of a very strange time on the planet with COVID and all of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of undulated. You know, things opened up, now they've closed back up. But in general, how does it feel to release this album?
It feels liberating, honestly. This is the first time that I've actually been able to put something out under my own name. It means a lot to me. There are two tracks on there that are named after two of my cats. Well, I only have two cats, but they're named after those, Little Pants and Stella. I've been working on the music for this for over a year, basically since before lockdown, but it's been a gradual progress. I'm really happy to finally be able to share something with the world that I've been, you know, working on. It's really exciting for me. And today is actually the release date of it, so it's a nice coincidence.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah. Well, and I guess that's the thing, too. You know, are there hopes as we move forward? I know right now we're in this murky zone, but are there hopes of, like, you know, presenting this live and having more opportunities to meet with fans and perform?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been hoping. This was recorded in May, early May of 2021, and I was hoping to have been able to put together kind of a release tour in the States and Canada and also in the UK where I'm living right now. Obviously, COVID kind of threw a wrench into that, so hopefully I'm going to be able to do that in June. I'm looking at June for this year in 2022. But yes, it's going to be great to actually be able to present this music, the physical copy, and also the digital copies to anybody who'd be interested in listening to it and meeting some people who are interested in jazz. And really that's what it's all about, is just being able to contribute to this art, hopefully make an impact in some way or another. So
what are you hoping the listener gets from this album? You know, anybody that downloads or buys it, what do you want them to get from this experience?
I think the main thing is that I want them to enjoy what they're listening to and be able to use it as they would see fit, I suppose. That's a good question. A lot of it, I think, is, like I said before, is being able to kind of throw my hat into the ring musically. And I think there are a couple of tracks, like the ones that I, like I said earlier, named after my cats, like Little Pants and Stella, that there were a lot of emotions that went into those for me. So hopefully they can kind of perceive some of those. But there's also some longer standing arrangements, like the arrangement that I have on Lush Life, that I put a lot of thought into. Hopefully it'll, you know, that'll come through in the music, and the listener will be able to, you know, hear that, and you know, if they're a musician, they can hopefully hear some of the influences that I had from that. But if they're not a musician, hopefully they can hear the energy behind it in the different sections.
So, you know, obviously this COVID time has brought a lot of woe to the planet, but there's been other things that have been, you know, silver linings that have gone into this. And I'm wondering, you know, how do you see yourself emerging as a stronger musician and person once things start opening up?
For me personally, there's only so much work you can do at home with your instrument and trying to improve and trying to get, you know, deeper into the music alone. And I think probably the best way for me, honestly, what I'm hoping for in terms of growth and being able to share what I've done is just more experience playing with more musicians and being able to soak up what other people have done and contributed to the art and meeting more people, you know, hopefully when things open up again.
So let's go back in your life. So you're in the UK right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back to the beginnings of your life. Talk to me about where you were born and raised and kind of how jazz became a profession that you're in now?
I was born in Victoria, BC, in Canada, and I was taking piano lessons from a young age, around 5 years old. I can't remember if it was four or five, but it was around then. And I was one of those kids who didn't really want to play the piano. It was just kind of something that my parents made me do. My brother and sister played piano as well. But when I was about 10, I think, my parents, that's about when my brother and sister were in high school and I was still in elementary school. And my brother and sister were exposed to jazz through the high school program. And my parents had a cassette tape that they would play in the car. And one of the songs was Bill Evans playing with his trio with Scott LaFaro and Paul Motion at the Village Vanguard. And it was one of the takes of Alice in Wonderland that they did. And I remember that my dad leaned over to me in the middle of the take. He said, you know, they're making all of this up. And I go, what? How is that possible? Like, I play the piano. How can you make stuff up on the piano? That doesn't make any sense. So when I finally got to high school, I didn't really learn my scales until I got to high school or anything. But I got into the jazz program. And they kind of showed me how to read the chords and how the scales and the chords kind of fit together. And I thought there's something more to this than I thought before. After that, I went home and practiced a lot and learned all my scales. And I started doing transcriptions. You tend to learn pretty quickly when you're in a group, in a combo at high school, and they force you into taking solos and accompanying people. So I got pretty comfortable with that kind of stuff. We also had a weekly opportunity to play at Herman's Jazz Club, which I believe is still going strong in Victoria. After that, I won an audition to McGill University in Montreal, and I was able to attend, fortunately, in 2009. I met a lot of Montreal musicians, one of whom is guitarist Sam Kiermaier, who's another Canadian guitarist who's from Montreal, who actually also has a record coming out later in January that I was playing on, recorded around the same time as my record, Late Night. It's called In This Moment. I met him at McGill, and I met a number of other Montreal musicians, and that's where I met my wife as well, and she's from New York, and New York is one of the probably arguably the top place to be for music, for jazz specifically. So I always had my sights set on New York to go and live. And, you know, I was able to get my master's degree at Manhattan School of Music. And that was in 2014, 2016. And then I was in New York for 7 years or so. And then working professionally, I was teaching and I was playing. And then we decided to move to London for a little while. So here I am.
Cool. Did you move to London before the pandemic?
No, we moved afterwards. We were supposed to move last year, and the pandemic happened, so we decided it might be better to hold off for a year. And we came in right as things were opening up again, so it actually worked out nicely for us. I was able to go and start hanging out and meeting the musicians and networking here once things were, you know, when everybody was doing that as well. They were all curious to meet new people, new musicians, because they just come out of a lockdown. So I was able to kind of slip in and blend in, which was nice.
What was the first live jazz show you ever saw that really blew you away?
That's a very good question. Thinking back on it, I think there was, so I mentioned in high school there was a live venue called Herman's Jazz Club, and they would host the high school to do a jam session every Thursday night. And I would hang around afterwards because there was another group of professional musicians who would play and host their own jam session. That's how I got to know the jazz club. And there was one show, I don't think it was on a Thursday, but it was on another night during the week. I can't remember the pianist's name. I think it was, his last name was Foster. And I remember he was playing a lot of very fast notes and a lot of block chords very quickly, and it was very technically impressive. There was a lot of pyrotechnics going on. That blew me away, and I thought, if I could play even a tenth of what he's doing right now, I'll be happy.
And speaking of that first show and just being a professional musician, what do you like the best about this process of being a professional jazz musician?
I think my favorite part of being a professional jazz musician is that I get to stay up late, and I get to get up late. I don't have to get up early in the morning. I never like getting up early. I guess that's one thing that I really like about it. It's one of those things for me that whenever you go to a gig, you always feel like, okay, this is, you know, this is my job, this is work. But it's not work in the sense like you're going to work at an office, or you're going to work at a coffee shop, or you're going to a job that might not be completely fulfilling. And that's the difference. For me, this work is completely fulfilling, because I know that if I have a piano in front of me and I'm with other good musicians on stage and we play music, like, it's incredible to me that that can be a job where you actually get paid for it. And that's, it doesn't feel like work to me. It just feels like I get to get together with great musicians and play the music that we've played. And it, sure, it's stressful at times, because, you know, you can be in a theater where it's higher stakes. You can't mess up, because there are, you know, people paid good money to get in. So you have to be very careful with the notes that you play. But I mean, it's just astonishing to me that I'm able to actually do this for a living, and I get to sit in front of a piano and play it. Yeah, it's astonishing to me.
Yeah, that's cool. So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. Who do you think you are?
I mean, to me, I'm just me. I don't see any difference from between me and, you know, somebody walking down the street. Everybody has their own story. I mean, I'm just a person, and I think everybody's just a person in their own way. I don't think of myself as this person who's, you know, everybody's just trying to make their own way. So that's just kind of how I see myself, I guess. It's just somebody who's trying to make their own way. You know, you do the best that you can. You try to make an impact where you can. You help people.
Yeah, I like it, man. Sean, thank you for taking a minute out to talk about the new album. Enjoy your release day, and good luck as we move forward in 2022. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for the opportunity. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Montreal, London, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Sean for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.